Tell me, why don't we keep all his commands? David says in Psalm 119, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. We ought to search our own hearts tonight and see. We're going to be ashamed if we don't. Do you know that? We're going to miss it. We heard about David a while ago. What in the world was the matter with David? Why was he tempted and tested? Why? Because the devil contested the kingdom. The devil had ruled. The devil had gotten in through Saul. And the devil said to God, he ain't any better than Saul. If he is, you prove it to me. I'll show you. I'll tickle him. And like Peter, Jesus said to Peter, the devil, Satan, has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know how Saul lost his kingdom? Not by committing a gross sin, but by forcing himself and getting out of God's will just a little bit. Just a few minutes. He forced himself and he did something that seemed very religious, but it was not God's command. God said, I can't use him. Can't use him. And don't you know that we have a kingdom coming? Don't you know that Jesus says it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? Don't you know that thousands of years have gone by and God has had a kingdom ready and he has not had people that were worthy to receive it as yet? And he is waiting for you and for me to take that kingdom. And why don't we have it? Why is it that David was tempted? Oh, he had to go through that test. And one of the last tests was another one of those subtle things that would have thrown him overboard and would have robbed him of the kingdom. And that time, a woman saved his life and saved his crown for him. Abigail, a type of the wisdom of God, came in his way when he wanted to get angry and said, wait a minute, David, you're going to be the king. You don't dare get angry now and let your anger have its way. And why do you and I have temptations and trials? Well, God has a kingdom for us. Praise God. He says it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But what kind of a kingdom is it? Oh, it's that kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And when the King comes, he wants to find us without spot and blameless, the Bible says. And are we doing what he tells us? Keeping his commands. Every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward in Old Testament times. How shall we escape? Every transgression, every disobedience received a just recompense of reward. We're reminded of those books that record every idle word. Do you know where those books are? Why, it's your body, it's your soul, it's your heart. Every sour thought puts another line of wrinkles under your eyes. You can tell by the faces of people what they think. And, oh, they may not be thinking it just then, but you know, they come petrified. Really, after 50, you have the face you deserve. It just becomes somehow recorded within your soul. And the body, of course, is the expression of the soul. But every transgression and disobedience receives a just recompense of reward. But then shall I not be ashamed if I have respect. Respect. I like that word, respect. We like to be respected by people. We like children to respect us. And sometimes they don't. They're very disrespectful. But oh, how do I respect the law of God when I have respect unto all thy commands? And what wonderful commands they are. Oh, if God told us to chime, maybe we'd think it was very wonderful. But you know, to smile for the love of God may be worth a great deal more than going to China. You ever think of smiling for Jesus' sake, being sweet, being kind? What does the Bible say? Love suffereth long and is kind. It is. It can love everybody that isn't lovely. Glory to God. Oh, Father, am I ashamed before thee today? Oh, hallelujah. The day will come when we'll be ashamed of every transgression, every disobedience. The Bible says, be courteous. Now, you're supposed to be courteous to me. That's what the Bible says. Be courteous, not be curt. Today, somebody gave me a very curt answer. It was a lady. But you could see it on her face for half an hour afterwards. Sure, and you'll see it next year, unless she repents of it. The Bible says, be courteous. When I do his commands, I shall not be ashamed. I am so thankful for his commands. Thy words were found. What do you do with his words? Tell me, what do you do with his wonderful words, which are given by inspiration of God? My Lord, what saints we will be when we do his commands, when we do what the Bible says. That's the kind of Bible students I was talking about Friday night. God wants us all to meditate therein day and night and to be like that. And if God had asked some terribly hard thing of you, would you have done it? Look what the people in this world do. They'll spend lots of money and lots of labor to make their inventions. Look what Thomas Edison did before he gave us the light bulb and the phonograph. And he needed help from Switzerland to do that. But what do you do and I do to light up the world? That's our call. Ye are the light of the world. And the light is to light up the darkness, thank God. And have you ever noticed how simple his words are? Why, he tells us that you put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And it says, now you're not going to live anymore. Listen, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord. Now I say this by the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Isn't that an array? Listen. Darkened understanding, alienated from the life of God, ignorant, blindness of heart, past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Those things become satanic possessions. That's what's the matter with the world. That's what's the matter with apostate Christianity. It isn't because they want to do these things. They can't help it. Man told me he couldn't help but be an adult, mind you. Of course you can't help it. You're bound with chains of darkness, the blindness of your heart, the ignorance that is in them. Why, the wisdom of God is that I receive that life of God from which I've been alienated, but now I've been translated into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, this divine nature of the Son of God alone makes me acceptable in the sight of God, to be like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to speak like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, to look like Jesus. Oh God, how far have we drifted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Look what else he says. But ye have not so learned Christ. Why, my whole life's job is to learn Christ. Oh God, if we'll help us, we'll put aside everything else. We'll put it aside. Beloved, we will. That's what the Apostle Paul did when he said, beloved, I do one thing. I count everything but refuse. Away with it. Anything that's in my way, anything that robs me of the time that belongs to God, my prayer time, my waiting upon the Lord, away with it. I came as a boy to this country and was supposed to work. My aunt was a dictator. And I wanted to go to school. She said, nothing doing. Put away your fiddle. Put away your bowl. Go to work and learn English. I did. I thank her. I must be very thankful to her. I learned English in such a hurry. The teachers didn't know why. They wondered about it. They put an article in the Sunday paper about me because they said they'd never seen anything like that. From the first grade, from kindergarten, after 5 weeks' time, I moved up into the eighth grade and after a while graduated there. And they didn't know how it happened, but if they had known my aunt, that would that would have solved the problem and cleared up the mystery in their minds. Oh, beloved, we need an aunt like that. Ye have not so learned Christ. Oh, to learn Christ. I count all else but refuse. Don't speak to me of it. I've heard the voice of Jesus. I've seen the face of Jesus. I felt the drawing power of the Son of God. I know something about the exceeding greatness of his power to us for to believe. Sin has no more power. Flesh and devil have no more power. When he says, never give up, beloved, Jesus says, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, shall the Son of Man find faith upon the earth. Faith for what? Why, faith for holiness. Faith for overcoming. Faith for the nature of the Son of God. Tonight in this meeting, he is ready to bestow it upon everybody that wants it. But beloved, we don't labor over it. We don't labor over the Bible. We don't say, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I'd like to advise you again, read the 119th Psalm and see what he says. 7 times a day I will praise thee for thy holy commandments. Oh, beloved, this wonderful word of God, it's so simple, but we pay no attention to it. What is it to learn Christ? Why, he says, if so be that you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. People are satisfied to chip off a little bit here and a little bit there and a little more here and then polish a little bit. And then the thing grows out again like a crab. If you cut off his claw, he grows another one. No, beloved, you put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man. Jesus is that new man. Does he live in you? Are you giving Jesus Christ a chance to live out his own life within you? Oh, beloved, if I give him a chance, he'll do it. No devil in hell can stop him from manifesting his own righteousness, his own holiness within me, his own divine life, his love, his joy, his peace. Have ye so learned Christ? Do you know Jesus? Do you know the power of his resurrection? Does it pulsate within you? Oh, the change that came into my life when Jesus came. It was unspeakable. I had heard others talk about it, but I didn't know how real it was. Oh, how real is Jesus! Glory to God! He is more real than the old man. He is the new man from heaven. He is the life-giving spirit. Glory to God. He says, Father, thou hast given him power over all flesh. He has power over your flesh to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And here is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And wonder of wonders, he reveals it to babes. But ye are not alienated from the life of God. You know about it. You know about it if you know the Bible. And that's what the Bible is given to me for. It's the road map that tells me whether I'm on the way to glory or whether I'm on the way to destruction. Let me see. Wherefore, putting away lying. Why, we've done that long ago, haven't we? Lying. Or do you lie a little bit in business? Some time ago in Germany, I think it was, I went to an airport and I wanted the ticket changed. And the fellow told me how I could save some money. He said, you know, it's a little swindle. I said, well, that settles it for me. We don't swindle. We put away lying. Liars will be in the fiery furnace. All liars. That means all German liars, all Swiss liars, all American liars, all Pentecostal liars. The Bible says all liars. Oh, that's in the Bible. My Father, if I have respect unto thy commands, I will soon find myself in union with God. God will soon step out of heaven and make his abode within me. That's the difference. Glory to God. That's the difference between having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. When I do it out of love for Jesus, I will love his word. I will delight myself also in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, because it opens to me wide a door into union with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Ghost. And there is no other way of being filled with the Holy Spirit. People can have the baptism according to Acts 2:4 and then walk in the flesh. Why, the baptism is given to me that I might now realize that I no longer need to walk in the flesh. Thank God we've come out of that. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Don't be angry and don't sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Remember, it'll be registered in your face. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Brother Bender tells a sweet little tale. He and his wife. Glory to God. They'd never go to sleep if they were mad at one another. They'd always get right with one another in the presence of God. I've seen them do it. And one time, they were out in their little fort, chuck, 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 chuck. It was going through the wilderness there, and presently it stopped, dead still, right in the wilderness of Venezuela, and wouldn't move. And you know what a Model T fort is, like a mule. You can't move it for love nor money. And the thing just wouldn't move. And Mr. Bender looked under the hood and he looked everywhere. I guess he didn't know what I know. It's either the gas line or the ignition. Now, I don't know whether a Model T Ford has an ignition or a gas line. I know it has a big crank and a lot of nuts, but it wouldn't move. And so Mr. Bender said, well, there's nothing for me to do but to leave you here, and I'll have to go to the next town and get a mechanic. Well, Mrs. Bender, like a sanctified woman, you know, they don't get mad, they just cry. So she just cried. And that boy came up and he said, Mama, I'll stay here. I tell you, something's wrong between us and God, or he would not have allowed this thing. He knew that all things work together for good. Strange. Even a Model T Ford. I tell you, God's done marvels for me when I drove a Model T Ford. I'll tell you about that some other time. But here, Mr. and Mrs. Bender, they were getting right with God. They sat in this dead thing, and they made a covenant with God that if he helped them out, they would get right with God as soon as they got to town. They found out in the meantime what was wrong. And so then when they had made this promise to God, out they got, and he took the crank and the thing went right off as if nothing had been wrong with it. Oh, beloved, I tell you, obeying the commands of God, but I wasn't going to preach. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, Oh, those words of ours either attract Jesus or they drive him away. Have you found that out? How wonderfully practical is this Christian life? It governs every part of your body, your mouth, your words. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, oh, Lord. And every idle word men shall give an account for in that day. Oh, Jesus, I shall not be ashamed in that day when I have respect unto all thy commands. Why does the Lord bother? Now, the Bible evidently was intended to be a small book. Why does God put those things? These are fundamental truths. Ye have not so learned Christ. What do I do with these wonderful words of God? Do I pay attention, pay respect unto all his commands? A command like this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That's what my mouth is for, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then he adds, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Do you pray over a scripture like that? This is a wonderful book. Do you pray over it? It would change your life. It would transform you. God would come to you. God tells me that he that honoreth me, I will honor. And how can I honor him if I don't respect his commands? Now I'm through. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. Jesus, how that will cement us together in the love of God. Brother, sister, be kind one to another. I stood at the grave of a departed saint some time ago, and there came to me the words of the poet, O lieb, solang du lieben kannst. O lieb, solang du lieben magst. Die Stunde kommt, wo du an Gräbern stehst und klagst. Und hüte deine Zunge wohl, bald ist dein böses Wort gesagt. Mein Gott, es war nicht bös gemeint, der andere aber geht und klagt. It says, love while you have a chance to love. Be kind while you have a chance to be kind. The hour is coming quicker than you think when you'll stand at the grave of some departed one and you will lament. And when my mother had just closed her eyes, I said, God, 1,000 things came to my mind. Why didn't I say that to her before she passed away? It was too late forever. I've been kind to her. She loved me very much. But, oh, the remorse that still filled my heart. Now she was gone. And here the Holy Ghost tells us to be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. We ought to pray over a text like this. We ought to make it our criterion for a week. And not only pray over it, but act upon it. Be kind. And you know, when you're kind and tender-hearted, you show it. Now, I am dappy naturally, but I don't always let on. And that's my sin. Praise the Lord. But I will repent by the grace of God. Dear Father, some of these things sound amusing, and yet they're so tragically sacred. Wake us up. Oh God, I pray thee, make us to be alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Make us to be true and honest students of the Bible. My Father in heaven, that thy will may be done in us as it is done in heaven. And we thank you for the Bible. Oh, we thank you for the New Testament in which you speak to us in your Son. And you speak to us the New Testament and the new nature and the new covenant, and you bind our hearts to thy great heart after cleansing us from sin. thou dost fill us with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of God's own possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen.